Well, thank you all very much for letting me be with you. It's a beautiful day to be here and a great honor. I was recently in Kansas City at a Memorial Day celebration. You know, they have a couple of different memorials there. How many of y'all were there in Kansas City at the World War I Memorial? Anybody? And over the Vietnam Memorial? Anybody over there? You know, it was quite an inspiration for me to look out over that crowd and see those Gold Star mothers and fathers sitting there. It's a stark reminder of the heavy cost of freedom. It's freedoms that no American should take for granted, and things that we have you to thank for. And so, like I did that day, I want to thank you for your service. You're worth it. I appreciate it. And I liked your story, General, about that. You know, I remember my mother telling a story about a family friend who had served in World War II. Many years later, he went back to one of those villages that he'd liberated as a young man, and he had on his lapel a little pin that was the insignia of the unit that he had. It was a replica that he'd worn as his unit marched across France. And one day he was walking along, and he had a cane instead of his rifle, and an old woman stopped him, pointed at this insignia on his jacket, began to cry, gave him this giant hug, and in words he couldn't understand, she just expressed her gratitude. Because, you know, as a young girl, she had seen that same symbol. And for her, that was a symbol of freedom and deliverance. She never forgot it. And so that's what our veterans mean around the world. You've been guardians of world freedom. You've been peacemakers in uncertain times, the times when there are threats that are real, just as they are today. Your service has been an inspiration to all of us, and certainly to those who are continuing in service. You know, our state has a proud history of having lots of veterans. We've had 26,000 Missourians are in service at this moment, and there are only over 500,000 veterans that are living in Missouri right now. But the fact that you're here today tells us something more about you, and that is that you're not just about your past service, you're about continuing to serve. And you're not doing that just so you can be thinking of yourself and have other people think of you as patriotic. You don't need that. You're doing it because you want results. And that's why it makes such a difference. The results that you're making in people's lives. And you do that in so many ways, and I can't name them all. You all know. I will tell you some that I've seen most recently are certainly the American Legion Baseball League, my hometown of Rolla. That was always the most prestigious thing that young people could do. I was just in Warrensburg the last couple of weeks at Girls State and Boys State, and I will tell you, if you've not been to that ever or been there in recent years, you should go back, because it is an inspiration and heartwarming to know what you're doing to help train the future leaders of our state. So I salute you for that. The service that you do for your communities and your state makes a real difference. And since I was raised in a family that thought public service was a noble and worthy thing to do, and it could make an incredible difference for people, I appreciate that. And you know, in addition to being public servants, my father and grandfather were both veterans. My grandfather was in World War I in the Navy. My dad was served during the Korea time in the Air Force. Dad was also a member of the American Legion, and I'm certainly proud of his service, but I am just as proud of what he did after he got out of the military to continue serving and looking out for veterans and their families. And, you know, he believed that that was the right thing to do, but he did more than just believe it. He actually acted upon it, which is sort of a novel thing, isn't it? He actually acted upon it. And under his watch as governor, funding for new veterans' homes, and we heard about those today, increased. Healthcare services were improved. New programs to honor World War II veterans were created. And especially proud he was of the Military Funeral Honors Program. Missouri was the first in the country to institute that, where a National Guard funeral detail would be available for every veteran in our state. My dad taught me that when you believed in something, you acted on it. Actions speak louder than words. So to me, that's really what public service is all about, is figuring out how you can make a difference in your communities. And I've been honored to serve as Secretary of State for the last 5 years, and these days, some of you may know, I have this new challenge ahead of me, and that is the opportunity to run for the United States Senate. So as you can imagine, I have been traveling from one end of the state to the other, and there is a question that comes up over and over again. It's sort of funny, in fact. And it is usually starts out like this. Someone says, "Robin, you seem like kind of a sensible, nice person. Why on earth do you want to run for the United States Senate? It's such a mess out there. Why do you want to do that?" And I'll tell you, folks, I do it because I refuse to accept that we've got to have a government that does more for those that are too big to fail and those with big corporate lobbyists than they do for us. I refuse to accept that we have to have public officials that take money from these people and act on their behalf instead of ours. I am determined to do something about that. In fact, I'm defiant that I'm not just going to sit back and say that that's okay. That's why I'm running. I'm determined to bring common sense, the values that I learned here in Missouri, to stand up for middle-class families, for Missourians, for veterans, and not just for those with a special interest. And like my father, I will advocate for veterans, for our men and women who are in uniform, who are in harm's way now, who need the protection, the services, the gear, the equipment to protect them in wartime, but also to take care of those after they've served and follow through on the promises that were made. So I'm going to tell it to you straight. This year's Senate race is a really clear choice between somebody who's had a long record here in Missouri of standing up for middle-class families or someone who's had a long record in Washington of time and again standing up for the big corporate special interest, whether they're on Wall Street or whether they're big oil companies in the Gulf, instead of for us. And my record here as Secretary of State, I have stood up to big financial institutions. I've helped real people get their money back, over $10 billion in the last couple of years, when folks in Washington were asleep when they were supposed to be on guard, looking out for us. And I've helped small businesses, and we've cut red tape, and we've cut costs, made it easier for them to focus on what they do, which is grow their business. We passed one of the toughest in the country, laws to protect seniors against financial scams. And we've made it our work to do what we can to help middle-class families. And I got to tell you something that you may not know about me, and that is I still run our family cattle farm down outside of Rolla. And there are a few lessons that you learn on the farm. I don't know if we got any farmers in the group here. One of those lessons is I learned to know bull when I see it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. Another lesson I learned was that when something breaks, what do? You fix it. You don't bicker. You don't complain. You don't say no all the time. You don't say it's too hard or too complicated. You set about trying to fix it. And I think, to me, those are simple lessons that they need to learn in Washington, because to me it's a culture that is broken. It encourages corruption and influence peddling, puts powerful special interests ahead of regular people, and it encourages this wasteful spending. It seems to hold nobody accountable for money and when things go wrong. So how we start fixing what's broken in Washington is what I'm going to be talking about in the campaign. I've been traveling around the state doing that. How we put the concerns of middle class before those that are too big to fail. How we become really fiscally responsible, not just talk about it. The good news is, though, we can actually fix it. We don't have to put up with it. We can change it. That's what elections are for. And maybe it's my nature. I admit it could be that. But when some career politician stands up in front of me and says they've been looking out for me in Washington, I actually want to check it out. I want to check out whether that's true or not. Because to me, I was raised to think actions speak louder than words. Because when folks fly out here to Missouri, tell us they've been looking out for us, fly back home to Washington, vote a different way, I got a name for that. Actually, I got two names for it. One is DC doublespeak, they love that, and the other is plain old bull. And let me give you some examples, because unfortunately, it happens way too much. When some congressman tells you that they're going to stand up for you, but in fact consistently votes for tax breaks and subsidies for big oil companies, takes more money from lobbyists than any other member of Congress, but then comes back here, comes around and votes against tax breaks for middle-income Americans, things that help small business. I call that bull. I also call it bull when a congressman votes himself 12 pay raises, but when it comes to helping the middle class, votes against the minimum wage. And when a congressman pushes to bail out the big Wall Street banks to a tune of $700 billion of our money, takes over $1 million in campaign contributions from them, and then when it comes time to hold them accountable so we don't have to bail them out again, votes with the banks, I call it bull. And you should too. So that's what we have. Actions speak louder than words. And I want you just all to know that what I've been doing in the Secretary of State's office is what I'm going to continue to do, and that's stand up for middle-class families. When it comes to veterans, I will tell you that this recent activity in St. Louis, and I know I'm glad to hear things at Truman sound like they're better than this, but you got shoddy sanitary conditions that are putting our veterans at risk. It is an outrage. There's nothing less than an outrage. And immediate action has got to be taken. There's no excuse. Actions speak louder than words. As Secretary of State, I've done what I could when it comes to helping veterans. In that capacity, I've worked hard to make it easier for veterans to vote, particularly folks that are still in service overseas. We've changed it, so in the past, I don't know how many of y'all were overseas when an election took place. Do you remember all those troubles getting your ballot? Wondered if it ever got back, wondered if it ever got counted? Well, guess what? We're changing all that. We've changed it already to make it so we can get those ballots there. If we need to email or fax them, we can get them to you. If you need to email or fax them back, you can do it, because veterans need to have the same access that every citizen has when it comes to voting. And I've worked hard. I've worked across party lines to pass the Veterans Business Protection Act to make it so folks who have served overseas, when they come home, it's easier for them to keep their business going in the state. Actions speak louder than words. And I just want to leave you with a story. And that is something that inspired me when I read it a few years ago. And it was about the Honor Flight Network. Any of y'all know about that? Let me see a show of hands. How many of y'all have been participated in that? It's a great program. There was a really fascinating article. Talked about a group that went, a couple dozen people a few years ago from the St. Louis Post, and 85-year-old gentleman, terminally ill from Missouri Veterans Home, went along, hadn't been out for years. He'd never been to Washington. It was his big chance and probably last chance to go. So despite being sick, he went anyway, and as he walked around that memorial, it's fantastic, a reporter came up to him, asked him what he thought. And he said, "I'm not sad. I'm happy, really. Because they think about us. They think about us. It's right to think about the sacrifices and to honor what our veterans have done. It's right to act on those beliefs. It's right to do more than just give nice speeches, but actually follow through every day of the year when it comes to supporting our veterans. I'm honored that you all had me here today. Thank you again for your service of the past, but thank you so much for your continued service to our state and nation. God bless you. God bless the United States of America. Thank you."